Chapter 6. The Starline shrank back into stars, and the wild card was back in normal space. Straight ahead was the tiny white dwarf sun of the Chazwa system, not all that distinguishable from the bright background stars around it. Nearby, and a little to one side, a mostly dark circle edged by a slender lighted crescent, was the planet Chazwa itself. Scattered around it in the darkness of space, the exhaust glows of perhaps 50 ships could be seen, both incoming and outgoing. Most were freighters and bulk cruisers, taking advantage of Chazwa's central transshipment location. A few were clearly Imperial warships.
"Well, here we are,"
Ave said conversationally from the co-pilot station.
"Incidentally, Card, I'd like to go on record as saying this is an insane idea."
"Perhaps," Card conceded, shifting course toward the planet and checking his displays. Good. The rest of the group had made it in all right.
"But if the Empire's clone transport route does indeed run through Orua's sector, the Chazwa garrison should have records of the operation. Possibly even the origin point, if someone was careless."
"I wasn't referring to the details of the raid," Abe said. "I meant that it was crazy for us to be getting involved in the first place. It's the New Republic's war, not ours. Let them chase it down."
"If I could trust them to do so, I would,"
Card said, peering out the starboard viewport. Another freighter seemed to be sliding slowly in the wild card's general direction.
"But I'm not sure they're up to the task."
Aves grunted.
"I still don't buy Skywalker's numbers. Seems to me that if you could grow stable clones that fast, the old clone masters would have done it."
"Perhaps they did,"
Card pointed out.
"I don't think any information on the cloning techniques of that era has survived. Everything I've ever seen has come from the much earlier pre-war experiments."
"Yeah, well..."
Ave shook his head.
"I'd still rather sit the whole thing out."
"We may discover we don't have a choice in the matter."
Carr gestured to the freighter still moving up on them.
"We seem to have a caller. Would you pull up an ID on him?"
"Sure."
Aves threw a quick look at the freighter, then turned to his board.
"Not registering as any ship I've ever heard of. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, they've altered their ID. Simple transponder overlay, looks like. Let's see if Kent's magic decoder package can untangle it."
Card nodded, the mention of Ghent's name sending his thoughts flicking briefly across the galaxy to Coruscant and the two associates he'd left there under New Republic care. If the timetable their medical people had given him was correct, Mara should be about recovered by now. She should be trying to get in touch with him soon. And he made a mental note to check in with the contact pipeline as soon as they were finished here.
"Got it,"
Ave said triumphantly.
"Well, well. I do believe it's an old friend of yours, Card. The Kern's pride. The slightly less than honorable Samuel Tomas Gillespie proprietor."
"Is it now?"
Card said, eyeing the ship pacing them 100 meters away.
"I suppose we'd better see what he wants."
He keyed for a tight beam transmission.
"This is Talon Card calling the Kern's pride," he said. "Don't just sit there, Gillespie. Say hello."
"Hello, Card,"
a familiar voice came back.
"You don't mind if I figure out who I'm talking to before I say hello, do you?"
"Not at all. Nice little overlay on your ship ID, by the way."
"Obviously could have been nicer. We weren't even close to slicing yours yet. What are you doing here?"
"I was about to ask you the same thing. I was under the impression you'd been planning to retire."
"I did. Out of the business for good. And thanks for everything. Bought myself a big chunk of land and a nice little out-of-the-way world where I could watch the trees grow and stay out of everything that smelled like trouble. Place called Yukio. Ever hear of it?"
Beside Card, Ave shook his head and muttered something under his breath.
"I seem to remember hearing that name recently, yes. Were you there for the Imperial attack?"
I was there for the attack, the surrender, and all the occupation I could stomach. Matter of fact, I had about as good a front row seat to the bombardment as you could get. It was pretty spectacular, I'll tell you that.
It could be profitable as well, Card said, thinking hard. As far as he knew, the New Republic still didn't have a handle on what exactly the Empire had done at Yukio. Hard data on the attack could be invaluable to their tactical people, as well as commanding a hefty fee for both witness and finder. I don't suppose you took any readings during the attack.
I got a little from the bombardment part of it. The data card from my macro binoculars. Why?
There's a good chance I can find you a buyer for it. It might compensate somewhat for your lost property.
I doubt your buyer's got that much to spend. You wouldn't have believed it, Card. You really wouldn't. I mean, we're not talking Sfeverin here, but even Yukio should have taken them a little longer to overrun.
The Empire's had a lot of practice overrunning worlds, Card reminded him. You're lucky you made it out at all.
You got that one right. Fawn and Rapoport popped me out half a jump ahead of the stormtroopers, and half a jump behind the workers they sent to turn my land into a crop farm. I'm telling you, that new clone system they've got going is really creepy.
Card threw a look at Aves.
How so?
What do you mean, how so? I don't happen to think people ought to come off an assembly line, thanks. And if they did, I'm sure his Minox wouldn't put the Empire in charge of the factory. You should have seen the guys they had manning the roadblocks. Put a shiver right straight through you.
I don't doubt it. What are your plans after leaving Chazwa?
I don't hardly have any plans before I get there. I was hoping to get in touch with Brask's old contact man here. See if they'd be interested in taking us on. Why? You got something better?
Possibly. We can start by sending that macrobinocular data card onto my buyer, drawing payment for you against a credit line I have set up with him. After that, I have another project in mind, which you might find both interesting...
We got company, Aves cut him off. Two Imperial ships heading this way. Looks like Lancer-class frigates.
Uh-oh. Maybe we didn't get off Yukio as clean as I thought.
I think it more likely that we're their target, Card said, feeling his lip twist as he keyed an evasion course into the helm. It's been nice talking to you, Gillespie. If you want to continue the conversation, meet me in 8 days at the Trogon system. You know the place.
I can make it if you can. If you can't, don't make it too easy for him.
Card broke the contact. Hardly, he murmured. All right, here we go. Nice and easy.
He eased the wild card into a shallow portside drop, trying to make it look as if they were planning to cut past the planet itself and pick up a new hyperspace vector.
Do I alert the others? Aves asked.
Not yet, Card said, giving his displays a quick look and setting the nav computer to work, calculating their jump to light speed. I'd rather abort the mission and try again later than tangle with a pair of Lancers who are serious about fighting.
Yeah, Aves said slowly. Card, they're not changing course.
Card looked up. Aves was right. Neither Lancer had so much as twitched. They were still heading on their original vector.
Straight for the Kern's pride.
He looked at Aves to find the other looking back at him.
What do we do?
Aves asked. Card looked back at the Imperial ships. The wild card was a long way from being helpless in a fight, and his people were some of the best. But with weaponry that had been designed to take out enemy starfighters, two Lancers would be better than an even match for the group he'd brought to Chazwa. As he watched, the Kern's pride suddenly made its move. Rolling into a sort of mutated dropkick Koyogran maneuver, it took off at high speed at a sharp angle from its original course. The Lancers, not fooled a bit by the ploy, were right behind it, which left the wild card completely in the clear. They could continue on to Chazwa, hit the garrison records, and be out before the Lancers could make it back. Fast, clean, and certainly preferable as far as the New Republic was concerned. But Gillespie was an old acquaintance, and on Card's scale, a fellow smuggler placed higher than any interstellar government he didn't belong to.
Apparently Gillespie didn't get off Yukio as cleanly as he thought, he commented, bringing the wild card around and keying for the intercom. Lacton, Chin, Corvus, fire up the turbolasers. We're going in.
What about the other ships?
Aves asked, as he activated the deflector shields and punched up a tactical display.
Let's get the Lancer's attention first, Card said.
The 3 men at the turbolaser signaled ready. Taking a deep breath, he threw power to the drive. The Lancer's commander wasn't anyone's fool. Even as the wild card drove toward them, one of the Imperial ships broke off its pursuit of the Kern's pride and turned to confront this new threat.
I think we've got their attention, Ave said tightly. Can I call the others into the party yet?
Go ahead,
Card told him, keying his own comm for a tight beam to the Kern's pride.
Gillespie, this is Card.
Yeah, I see you. What do you think you're doing?
Giving you a hand,
Card said. Ahead, the Lancer's 20 quad laser batteries opened up, raining green flashes down on the wild card. The turbo lasers fired back, their 3 groups of fire looking rather pathetic in comparison.
All right, we've got this one tied down. Better get out before that other one finds their range.
You've got him tied down? Look, Card.
I said get out.
Card cut him off sharply.
We can't hold him forever. Don't worry about me. I'm not exactly alone out here.
Here they come,
Ave said, and Card took a moment to glance into the rear display. They were coming, all right. 15 freighters strong, all zeroing in on the suddenly outgunned Lancer. From the comm came an amazed whistle.
You weren't kidding, were you?
No, I wasn't, Card said. Now get going, will you?
Gillespie laughed out loud.
I'll let you in on a little secret, Card. I'm not alone either.
And suddenly, barely visible through the haze of laser fire hammering at the wild card's viewports, the exhaust glows of nearly 20 ships suddenly veered off their individual courses. Sweeping in like hungry Barabel, they converged on the second Lancer.
So, Card, at a guess, I'd say neither of us is going to get much business done at Chazwa this time around. What say we continue this conversation somewhere else? Say in 8 days?
Card smiled.
I look forward to it.
He looked back at the Lancer, and his smile faded. Standard Lancer crew was 850, and from the capable way that one was holding off the rest of the ships, he would guess they were running with full complement. How many of them, he wondered, had been freshly created at Grand Admiral Thrawn's clone factory?
By the way, Gillespie, he added, if you happen to run into any of our colleagues on the way, you might want to invite them along. I think they'd be interested in what I have to say.
You got it, Card. See you in 8.
Card switched off the comm. So that was it. Gillespie would broadcast the word to the other major smuggling groups, and knowing Gillespie, the open invitation would quickly transmute into something just short of a command appearance. They'd be at Trogon, all of them, or near enough. Now all he had to figure out was what exactly he was going to say to them. Grand Admiral Thrawn leaned back in his command chair. All right, gentlemen, he said, his gaze flicking in turn to each of the 14 men standing in a loose semicircle around his console. Are there any questions? The slightly rumpled-looking man at one end of the semicircle glared at the others.
No questions, Admiral, he said,
his precise military voice in sharp contrast to his civilian sloppy appearance.
What's our timetable?
Your freighter is being prepped now, Thrawn told him. You'll leave as soon as it's ready. How soon do you expect to penetrate the Imperial Palace?
No sooner than 6 days from now, sir,
the rumpled man said. I'd like to hit one or two other ports before taking the ship into Coruscant. Their security will be easier to breach if we have a legitimate data trail they can backtrack. Unless you want it done sooner, of course.
Thrawn's glowing eyes narrowed slightly, and Pelion could tell what he was thinking. Mara Jade, sitting there in the middle of Rebel headquarters, perhaps at this very moment giving them the location of the Emperor's storehouse on Wayland.
Timing is critical in this operation, Thrawn told the commando leader. But speed alone is useless if you're compromised before even entering the palace. You will be the man on the scene, Major Himron. I leave it to your judgment.
The commando leader nodded.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Admiral. We won't fail you.
Thrawn smiled fractionally.
I know you won't, Major. Dismissed.
Silently, the 14 men turned and filed out of the command room.
You seem surprised, Captain, at some of my instructions,
Thrawn commented as the door slid shut behind them.
Yes, sir, I was,
Pellion admitted.
It all made sense, of course,
he added hastily.
I simply hadn't thought the operation out to that endpoint.
All endpoints must be prepared for,
Thrawn said, keying his board. The lights muted, and on the walls of the command room, a sampling of holographic paintings and planets appeared.
Umriss artwork,
he identified it for Pellion's benefit.
One of the most curious examples of omission to be found anywhere in the civilized galaxy. Until they were contacted by the 10th Alderaanian expedition, not a single one of the dozens of Umriss cultures had ever developed any form of three-dimensional artwork.
Interesting,
Pellion said dutifully.
Some flaw in their perceptual makeup?
Many of the experts still think so,
Thrawn said.
It seems clear to me, though, that the oversight was actually a case of cultural blind spots combined with a very subtle but equally strong social harmonization. A combination of traits we'll be able to exploit.
Pellion looked at the artwork, his stomach tightening.
We're attacking Imrist.
It's certainly ripe for the taking,
Thrawn pointed out.
And a base there would give us the capability to launch attacks into the very heart of the Rebellion.
Except that the Rebellion must know that,
Pellion said carefully. If Samoyoth's ongoing demands for an attack on Coruscant had finally gotten to the Grand Admiral...
They'd launch a massive counterattack, sir, if we so much as made a move toward Imrist.
Exactly,
Thrawn said, smiling with grim satisfaction.
Which means that when we're finally ready to draw the Coruscant Sector fleet into ambush, Imrist will be the perfect lure to use. If they come out to meet us, we'll defeat them then and there. And if they somehow sense the trap and refuse to engage, we'll have our forward base. Either way, the Empire will triumph.
He reached to his board again, and the holographic artwork faded into a tactical star map.
But that battle is still in the future, he said. For now, our prime goal is to build a force strong enough to ensure that ultimate victory, and to keep the Rebellion off balance while we do so.
Pellion nodded.
The assault on Horde Mantell should go a long way toward accomplishing that.
It will certainly create a degree of fear in the surrounding systems,
Thrawn agreed.
As well as drawing away some of the rebel pressure on our shipyard supply lines.
That would be helpful,
Pellion said with a scowl.
The last report from Bill Bringy said the shipyards there were running critically low on Tabana gas, as well as Hephredium and Camrys.
I've already ordered the Bespin garrison to step up their Tabana gas production,
Thrawn said, tapping his control board.
As for the metals, intelligence recently reported locating a convenient stockpile.
The report came up, and Pellion leaned forward to read it. He got as far as the location listing.
This is intelligence's idea of a convenient stockpile?
I take it you disagree?
Thrawn asked mildly. Pellion looked at the report again, feeling a grimace settling in on his face. The Empire had hit Lando Calrissian's walking mining complex on the super-hot planet Niklon once before, back when they needed mole miners for Thrawn's assault on the Sluis Van shipyards. That other raid had cost the Empire over 1 million man-hours, first in preparing the Star Destroyer Judicator for the intense heat at Niklon's close orbit distance from its sun, and then for repairing the damage afterward.
I suppose that depends, sir,
he said,
on how long we'll be losing the use of whichever Star Destroyer is detailed for the raid.
A valid question,
Thrawn agreed.
Fortunately, there will be no need this time to tie up any Star Destroyers. Three of our new dreadnoughts should be more than adequate to neutralize Niklon's security.
But a dreadnought won't be able to...
Pellion interrupted himself as he suddenly understood.
It won't have to be big enough to survive in open sunlight. If they can take over one of the shield ships that fly freighters in and out of the inner system, a dreadnought would be small enough to stay behind its umbrella.
Exactly, Thrawn nodded. And capturing one should pose no problem. For all their impressive size, shield ships are little more than shielding, coolant systems, and a small container ship's worth of power and crew. 6 fully loaded assault shuttles would make quick work of it. Pellion nodded, still skimming the report.
What happens if Calrissian sells his stockpiles before the assault force gets there?
He won't, Thrawn assured him. The market price for metals has just begun to rise again, and men like Calrissian always wait for it to go just a little higher. Unless Calrissian was suddenly overcome with a swell of patriotic fervor toward his friends back in the New Republic hierarchy, and decided to sell his metals at a reduced price.
I'd still recommend, sir, that the attack be carried out as soon as possible.
Recommendation noted, Captain, Thrawn said, smiling slightly. And as it happens, already acted upon. The raid was launched 10 minutes ago. Pellion smiled tightly. Someday, he decided, he'd learn not to try to second-guess the Grand Admiral.
Yes, sir.
Thrawn leaned back in his chair. Return to the bridge, Captain, and prepare to make the jump to light speed. Ord Mantell is waiting.